Good Monday, everyone. This is Gary Smith again with this week's podcast. I would like to do something a little different this week. September 11th is, at least as far as the United States is concerned, a time to remember the attack on the country by the airplanes attacking the Twin Towers in New York City, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and then the valiant efforts of those individuals who took down Flight 93 in Pennsylvania, that by all accounts was intended to fly into the White House. Some of you may not even have been born at the time. Some of you maybe were fairly young on September 11th in the morning, 2001. I was on my way into work at the police department in Northfield, Minnesota. It was a small community kind of on the outer ring of the Twin Cities metro area of Minneapolis-St. Paul. And I got a call from one of the dispatchers who said that an airplane had just crashed into one of the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. And so I was on my way into work, and by the time I got there and got into my office, I learned that there had been a second plane who had crashed into the towers. So at that point, we knew that it was not going to be an accident, that we're looking at probably an act of terrorism. And so protocols that were in place, stepped up security issues and communications and correspondence with various different agencies, preparing for the possibility of some sort of terrorist act taking place in that area, or where at least somewhere in the Midwest, upper Midwest, to be prepared to respond. And so we took those actions, called those people in, and set our emergency operations center live, and began that process, and watched then as the information came out about the plane crashing into the Pentagon, as well as then the plane that crashed in the field in Pennsylvania. One of the things that struck me during that time is this probably was the first time the 24/7 news cycle, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week news cycle, had really been operating when something significant like this had taken place. And I was struck with how much disinformation, how much guessing and speculation so-called experts, people who were retired in the intelligence business, and some who thought they were but necessarily were not. I even remember that there was a local media station in that area who had tried to reach out to me even and wanted me to comment. And I had indicated to the dispatcher who fielded the call that just to let him know I was busy and I wasn't going to call him back. So they being the media, were stretching out, trying to get their hands on every little bit of information. And we always were told that, well, the public wants to know what's going on. And I can sympathize and understand with that, but I think we have an obligation to see to it that the information that is given is credible and verified and accurate. And so I was really disappointed, not so much with our local folks, but people at the regional and national levels and international levels who were speculating and making statements that were really turned out to be just blatantly false. And they did no service other than to get people upset and excited and dismayed. We started seeing acts of violence against individuals of Middle Eastern descent. One individual I remember on the West Coast who was pumping gas in his car was severely beaten by people simply because of what he looked like, even though he was a third generation U.S. citizen. And so we saw both acts of compassion and heroism, but we also saw some of the dark and ugly side of people who hate and were looking at means of lashing out because they had obviously no other means of intelligently voicing their concerns. I looked at the faces of the people who were running from the towers when they were collapsing, and the fear in their eyes, the panic, thinking that this was the end, that this was the end of their life. This was all that they knew, and there was nothing else. And I think about the gospel and how we are assured that as believers, as part of God's family, that A, we are never alone, but B, also that we have a place in heaven with God. And we have that right and that gift because God gave up his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to take our sins upon himself as his burden so that we could be saved, that we could be with Jesus. That's a wonderful message. And I saw the people who who were scared. I heard people interviewed after the fact that thought that was the end of the world and that there was literally nothing else. And how sad is that? It just broke my heart. And churches suddenly became very full. There were people in the churches on a constant basis. And then within a few months, we saw the attendance tapering off as things sort of normalized, as the United Congress stood on the steps and sang God Bless America. Then turned within a very few short months back into the partisan bickering that we had known before and the dysfunction. I think that as Christians, we are fortunate that we do know that there's a message of peace. And during that aftermath, within that first week or so, we invited several clergy, a Catholic, Episcopal, Protestant, an imam, and a rabbi to do a memorial service to pray for those lost, to pray for those families and friends that were suffering the loss. And we caught a little bit of flack over the fact that we invited an imam. But, you know, we read scripture then from the Hebrew Bible and from our Christian Bible and passages from the Quran that all spoke of peace and understanding and loving one another. And leadership to some degree then is being that voice of support, that symbol of support, that even in times of fear and times of hatred and times of emergency, that there's a constant. There's a constant that says we'll get through this. We have processes in place. We're going to make it through. And we're going to do so in a way that does not necessarily, almost with no exception, result in an outlashing violent act, simply for the act of violence, for retribution on individuals that have nothing to do with it. A few days after the attacks, a teacher from one of the elementary schools came in and said that her third grade class, I believe it was, had drawn some pictures that wanted to thank first responders for their help. And I had told our officers that they needed to be sensitive, that during the weeks to follow, that they would find people seeking them out, wanting reassurance, much like those kids did, showing their appreciation. And we needed to be mindful. And even though we were hurting and we were concerned, we needed to help project a sense of reassurance, a sense that things will be all right and that we will be here to help protect them. So as I was looking through these pictures, one caught my attention. This young lady had drawn a picture of the towers falling, so it was clear that she had seen at least some of the pictures of them falling. And she had drawn a fire truck and a police car and a firefighter and a police officer, the stick figures, and basically on it, it said, thank you for, you know, what you do. And I looked up in the what she had in her sky, and I noticed she had drawn a sun. And the sun was crying. And, you know, even now when I talk about that, it bothers me. Because that probably sent a message stronger than anything else that I had seen, is that this young little girl understood the severity of what had taken place. She knew that people around her were sad, and she was able to put that together and realize that things were not good. And I had shared that with a number of folks at a banquet a few months later, honoring first responders, our firefighters. And I said, you know, part of what we need to be able to do in the weeks and the months and the years, because we knew this was going to be a long healing process. And we also knew that these acts of terrorism would not be going away anytime soon, is to reassure people in our communities as leaders that we are striving to keep them safe, that we're doing everything we possibly can to reassure them that we have the tools, the technology, and the heart and the drive to be good stewards of public safety, to stand up and help them in times of need, to reassure them, to show them that as time goes on, that there may be a need for enforcement, in response to other actions and other activities in our society. But hopefully someday that young lady could draw a picture of the sun shining again. So from a leadership perspective, then it's important to know how you're going to act, how you're going to respond, who you're going to work with. And my suggestion is to you, if you as pastors and leaders of your organizations have not reached out to your local emergency management director, and each county and or city is supposed to have one, and work with them as far as what part of the response plan will you play? What role will you play? What role will your organization play with their response plan? And be part of that plan and be part of the effort to be positive and not reactive. It seems like it's probably a no-brainer, but you'd be amazed even to this day how many organizations still don't have an emergency plan for their organization and they're not part of their community's emergency plan. But especially as clergy, as religious institution, it is imperative that we are involved in those activities to support and to help our communities respectively, but also in a pastoral role then, at least from the community standpoint of the church, that we can reaffirm to people that there is hope, that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that if we are believers and we accept that Jesus sacrificed his life for us, that we have the gift of eternal life. We have been given grace by God to know that we are part of God's family, and that even if this time on this place, on this planet, whereas to cease tomorrow, our lives would continue because we have a place in heaven with God. And I think about so many others who don't have that knowledge and don't have that recognition and how scared and how miserable they are because they don't. And in these days, it's even more important, in my opinion, that we work harder and harder to make sure we share that good news of the gospel with everyone that we encounter. But especially so during times of extreme tension or during an emergency or a disaster. And so as leaders, I would encourage you, if you don't have an emergency response plan, you can go on the FEMA website and they've got them for every organization. They have templates and suggestions. If you've not had a conversation with your local emergency management director, you need to do that. Because when it comes right down to it, our ministry is to help care for the community in any aspect that we can. And so whether it's a localized emergency like a flood or a tornado, or whether it is a national emergency, as leaders, we need to be prepared. And so I would encourage you to do that. And please don't let the dust settle on your to-do list. Make an attempt this week yet to reach out to those folks. And if you do have communication with them, that you continue to do so. Until next week, this is Gary Smith wishing you a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon.